The words that were hard for people to take that we hear at the beginning of the gospel was, "My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed," and they just couldn't take it. So they were murmuring, and then Jesus gives maybe an even more incredible statement. "Well, does this shock you? What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending, returning from whence he came?" That is, yes, you need to understand that I will give you my flesh and blood as your food. But also the reason I can do that, which is more shocking, is that I came from the Father and I'm going to return to the Father. He's stating that I am the Son of God. I am God. More shocking, I suspect. And they left him. Seemingly only the 12 were still there. And they weren't quite sure what to say. And so then we have what I think is perhaps the saddest statement of Jesus in the Gospels. "Do you also want to leave?" My feeling is that Jesus was really pretty down at that point. And Simon Peter comes to the rescue. I'm not sure he quite understood what he said, but he said it. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and are convinced that you are the Son of God." Incredible confession. So, the first point is, how convinced are we? Do we hunger and thirst for the Lord? And today, were you thinking about, "I can't wait to go to Mass"? Not because we have a great cantor, not because the priest, but because you hunger and thirst for the living God. The first reading, which always connects to it, has something similar. Joshua telling the people that they had a choice to follow the Lord or to follow the gods of the other nations. And he makes a similar, the most incredible statement of faith in the Old Testament. "As for me and my family, we shall follow the Lord." Wow. Meaning that husbands and fathers have a role to take. And we are told that they understood that their God was the one who brought them out of Egypt. So you have the Exodus, and you have the great event of the Passover, which of course the Lord took, at least in its theology, and made it our Last Supper and made it the basis of our Eucharist. We are reflecting that the Lord has taken us out of slavery, brought us to freedom, and fed us in the desert, our desert. But I would be remiss if I didn't also connect that, and it does kind of connect, to the second reading. That great reading from the letter to the Ephesians that is so misunderstood. Many people only hear, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands." Tricia, you did well reading it, thank you. But if you read the whole thing, it first of all talks about husbands and wives, be submissive to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is mutual. Marriage is not, "I'm the man, you're the woman." It's we together. That's often missed. And I wish that they had translated that, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands," as the Greek has it. It leaves out the word submissive. It just says, wives, be to your husbands as to the Lord. I find that less egregious from a certain point of view. None of us, I hope, would say that being submissive to the Lord is a burden. And then it goes on, and here's where I'd like to end, talking about the role that the husband is to play. Again, like the father of the household. Husbands, love your wives as you love your own bodies. Take care of them. And there's that incredible statement, purifying them by the water, the bath of water with the word. That is baptism, making all that is given to you disciples of the Lord, and the word. That we have sacrament, we have word. And the role of everyone, but the role of fathers and husbands is to do that. Then it talks about the covenant of marriage as the sacrament of this covenant between Christ and his church. That's important too, but I want to close with the role that fathers and spiritual fathers are expected to take. Priests and bishops and cardinals need to take seriously that call to take care of the people given to us, to wash them with the water and to feed them with the word and the sacrament. We have had some egregious sins against that. At my age, I have become not only somewhat of a spiritual father, even a spiritual grandfather. Okay, fine, whatever. I do commit myself to teaching the best I can, being the priest that God wants me to be. We must pray that our poor Pope Francis will do what needs to be done for dioceses and seminaries to be healthier. There are now 3 seminaries under investigation up north. But it's a good time, a time of purification, if you wish, a Lent. And so there is an Easter to come. At least that's how I see it. And so let us all commit ourselves to doing our responsibilities better and by being more open to service.